Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Syndication Station, the weekly podcast where we watch old television shows, tell spooky stories sometimes, and also just do a little dance, make a little love, get down tonight, you know?
Uh-oh, I'm on the wrong podcast.
I'm on the right one. I'm a ghost.
He's a spooky ghost now.
So, do you have any questions for me?
And what would you like those questions to be?
What did it feel like to die?
It hurts.
Just know that you have that to look forward to. When you die, it hurts the most out of anything.
Dying hurts.
It's like getting pinched.
It's the last thing you feel, and you feel it the entire time you're dead, which is forever.
Oh, no.
Starting off on the right foot with the Dark Cast.
people were leaving comments about that. They were like, man, last episode, a little dark.
Yeah, we got a little real. Hey, man, that's the gamble you take when you roll the dice at Syndication. You never know what you're going to get because we're just reacting naturally here.
That's how we do it.
We're so passionate about this stuff.
That's how we do it.
We're just responding.
Episode 10, Syndication Station. Mike Sadorf, Dom Mesquite, Josh Henderson, talking to everybody out there in TV land. Guys, how are you? How's everybody doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I went to a wrestling match last night.
Wait a minute, you son of a bitch. You didn't let me ask the question first. God damn it. Start the podcast.
I'm sorry. I was just so excited about it.
I'm going back to our first couple weeks, our format. That's it. Podcast over. Everybody start over.
Goodbye, everyone.
Yo, like an episode of the A-Team, it blew up.
It blows up 5 minutes in. let me give everybody a sneak peek behind the curtain. One second before we start recording the podcast, I was like, oh, guys, I listened to last week's episode for the first time ever, and I'm really self-conscious about the way I sounded in the beginning. And Dom's like, Mike, don't worry about it. We got your back. And I was like, thanks, Dom. And it made me feel good about myself. And then I started off, I was like, oh, the thing. And then I did that thing I've done the last couple weeks where I'm like, the show where we just, I got to stop doing that. We got to come up with a log out. We got to come up with a sign in.
Yeah.
We're taking episode 10 right now. When are we putting this train wreck back on the rails, fellas? God.
Whoa.
God,
I want to put it back on the rares.
On the rares.
It's hard to find.
On the rares.
I want to put it back on the rare studios and make it a little Donkey Kong Country. That's what I want.
There you go.
There it is. Oh, wait. So we're on the podcast. I guess we're talking to everybody. Oh, wait. Before I even ask everybody what we did last week, I finally came up with it, fellas. You know how I keep on saying comments and commenters, and I'm like, I gotta change that. I gotta get away from that language. I don't like that. Contributors.
Yeah.
Contributors. There it is. Oh, no, go on. I'm sorry.
Does that mean that we have to pay them? Because I don't think I want to.
I wanted to call them all contributing editors, but I was like, nah, they're still plebes. I gotta keep them on the lowest rung imaginable. The hoi polloi, the bourgeois. I got to keep them in their place, you know. Got to give them the boost they deserve. But contributor, I thought, was a nice concession from us up on high, you know, because we're better than them, than the people who listen to the podcast because we make it. I wonder if there's one kid who's listening who's like, is he serious?
Are they serious?
I don't get the joke.
Is that sarcasm?
I always feel like there's anytime we do stuff, like when we make like continue or like, or when you guys make continue or like 5x5 and stuff like that, in the back of my head, I'm always like, there's one 13-year-old who's probably his first day on the internet and he's going to think we're assholes.
Welcome to the internet.
Yeah. And I don't lament that. I'm like, we got to pop his cherry. We got to pop a 13-year-old boy's cherry.
I just wanted to talk about the 18.
Hold on, guys. The FBI's at the door. I got to tell you real quick.
Bingo!
What'd you guys do this week? Dom, what'd you do this week?
Dom.
So I went to a wrestling match last night.
Oh, yeah?
Did that.
Oh, yeah? Where was it? The Hollywood Bowl? Or?
It was in... No, there will never be a wrestling match at the Hollywood Bowl, perhaps. Because it's just too extreme for it. It's just the acoustics would be so amazing that it would cause Hollywood to crumble of all the bodies slamming to the mats.
That's fine.
I went to PWG, stands for Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, and it's in Reseda in a Legionnaires Hall, which I'm really fond of because we have like Legionnaires Halls back on the East Coast.
I live near one.
And it's like a little slice of home.
Yeah,
it's nice
because they're all kind of the same. They have a bar and a dance floor, and that's it. And
you can get beer for 60 cents and sad for free.
You know,
Legionnaire's disease included. That's what happens.
Whenever I'm in a Legionnaire's hall, you know what I think of?
What?
Which movie? Guess which movie I think of, if you can think of it.
Nothing but Trouble.
No.
Oh man, that's a great movie.
Is it a great movie?
Yeah, Nothing but Trouble is a great movie, and that's.
We're gonna watch it on this show.
Wait. That's $1 million movie.
That's a million dollar movie if there ever was one.
Mike, what movie? Which movie you think I'm thinking of?
I was gonna say Roadhouse.
Close, but Ooh. The Deer Hunter.
The beginning scene.
And
speaking of getting sad for free, Jesus.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Wait, I'm going to bring it back. Lots of bodies got slammed last night.
Oh, yeah, body slams. Cool, dudes
got flipped. Dudes jumped out of the ring. Dudes were doing backflips.
Dude, so tell everybody about The Deer Hunter and why it's such a good movie. Let's just talk about The Deer Hunter. We can't talk about The Deer Hunter today.
It's too sad. This is the fun episode.
When you said that, immediately I think of, like, young men in full, you know, military dress, you know, they're Polish American immigrants, you know, toasting each other before they go and become POWs for 5 years. That's what I was thinking about. So it's good.
I wanted to talk about wrestling. You said I could talk about wrestling today.
Dom, here's what I vote. I vote we make you in charge of the WWE.
Yes.
Have WrestleMania 2015, whatever they call them. Whatever 31. It is. 31? Yeah, WrestleMania 31 at the Hollywood Bowl. It causes the big one. San Andreas Fault rupture, splits open. California sinks into the ocean. Lex Luthor's plans of land ownership in the middle of the desert become real. Superman has to come save us. See what happens? That's why you want a wrestling match in the Hollywood Bowl. We get Superman.
We can call it Disaster Mania. It's a movie.
Yeah.
We should get a wrestler named Earthquake to come and wrestle.
Yeah, we should resurrect him because he's dead.
Because he's dead. He's super dead. He's 100% dead.
What about Yokozuna? Is he dead too?
I think he's dead.
Oh my god. Okay, what about Tsunami? Same guy as Earthquake. Never mind.
That's what happens after Earthquake wrestles. Tsunami comes in the next match. What? Dude, how many?
Several minutes later.
How many wrestlers have died in the last 10 years from heart disease, stroke, or cancer?
2 million.
All of them?
Well, I mean, you just named two of the leading things that kill anybody.
Yeah, but not
Yeah, heart disease is like number one.
Heart disease and then cancer is like is like within the top three.
Yeah, but no, heart disease and cancer are one and two in that order. But like, but not like for people in like their 40s and 50s.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. You know, essentially these guys are like carnies who just like every night they're going out and just like getting their body beat up, and then you know, old heads would, you know, take like whatever pill to make them feel better so that the next night they could do it again, or whatever drug that would make them look better so that they can make more money.
Right.
Now it's a little bit more regulated and people take care of themselves because most wrestlers today are just big wrestling nerds who watch wrestling growing up.
Like right.
So they know how to take care of themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, it's really funny. Explain to our listening audience the way you explained wrestling to me that one time. When you were talking about, like, they're just like clowns. Like, how was
it? Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, wrestling was like a legit sanctioned sport where it would be grappling, and it was just like hour-long matches of just like men just holding on to each other until like one of them got an opportunity to like maneuver and like put him in a headlock and have it go like you have the guy tap out.
I've seen that on the internet once or twice.
And it's you can find it on youjizz.com.
Make sure you have ad block up.
It usually only lasts 9 minutes and 59 seconds, otherwise other sites take it down.
Yeah, so just you want to go there now. Stop the podcast. but essentially, you know, people figured out, hey, we can make more money if we fake this and make it like exciting and like have all these crazy spectacle and have it be this like kind of a weird play that gets drawn out. So essentially what you're watching is hey everybody, the biggest guy's in town, and guess who's also in town? The second biggest guy. And they're gonna fight each other. Everyone who wouldn't want to see that? Two men who are the biggest, they're going to see who's the best. Who doesn't want to see that?
And this guy wears funny clothes.
Yeah, and this guy's wearing, his hair's crazy. He's got your son's haircut.
He's got your son's haircut.
He's a man. He's an adult man.
He's a grown
man. He's three times bigger than you.
He's got your son's haircut.
But I mean, that's what's so cool about wrestling for me is just like, it's such like a primitive form of entertainment. Yeah. Like, two men are gonna fight, but like, we figured out a way so that people don't die. You know, people die years later, but yeah, you know, right now they don't die
when they're forgotten about and they no longer yeah. matter.
But last night in the first match, took one in the nose and
bloody nose.
And got a bloody nose. And my friend who I took there, she had never been to a wrestling match, and I knew she was going to have a lot of fun. And she did.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, is that real? Is that fake? And I was like, no, the guy really has got a bloody
just
nose right
him.
Now.
It's scripted entertainment, but...
what's great about live
still,
indie shows...
Yeah, it's still people beating the hell out of each other.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, dudes are really... like, it's people are really getting hit, you know? It's just like they figured out ways to like make an illusion so it looks like they got hit harder, you know?
Yeah.
But what's really fun about live wrestling shows is just the audience is so into it, especially indie ones, because like they'll just chant whatever. Like, this girl came out. It was like a tag team duo of a guy and a girl, and the girl had a lollipop, and some dude in front of me like called out that he was like, he wants it, and she like gave it to him, and everyone was like real grossed out, and then he ate it.
He ate it,
and then everyone started chanting, "You sick fuck! You sick fuck!"
Dude, that reminds me of Channel 48. That reminds me of ECW, man.
Dude, I was about to say, Dom, what was the name of this? The thing you saw, Pog. What was it called?
PWG,
Pretty Ass Boy Girls.
It's probably one of the top indie promotions in the country.
Yeah, and then on the East Coast here, what did we have in Philadelphia? We had Glow was for girls, right? Glow was the female?
Glow, Glorious Ladies of Wrestling, that was a thing that was produced in Vegas, I think.
Oh, okay.
It was syndicated in this area.
And then we had...
You should actually watch that documentary on Netflix about Glow. I think it's just called Glow. But
it's called
Glitter.
Pretty,
it's pretty interesting.
Oh, okay. And then what we had ECW. Josh was just saying that when we were growing up, that was huge.
Extreme Championship Wrestling.
It's funny because like the WWF at the time was like the biggest thing, and like The Rock was like, I mean, like, it was that was the heyday. Like, I mean, no matter how big you think wrestling is now, maybe the ratings are even bigger. Like, just culturally, I remember it, like, it permeated so much more than it does now.
Yeah.
Like
well,
movie
you watch
stars
that.
Came out of it, you
know? Yeah, you
like,
should watch that documentary about that too. It's produced by the WWE, so it's not exactly, they kind of whitewash some of the things.
Yeah, they kind of make Vince McMahon out to be some sort of rational human being.
When
it's
we know
really, he's
monster.
Just a crazy rich millionaire.
He's a crazy rich
He was a billionaire, now he's a millionaire. Yeah. He lost like $350 million
Whoops.
The other day.
He's also a robot.
He is a robot. But there was ECW, and then that was really big in that era because, you know, it was really that kind of trash TV.
Yeah.
Right.
That I could really get into it. I don't want to because it's going to be too long for this show, but that like, you know, Jerry Springer and Raw and ECW, I feel like they all kind of fit that mold of like that trash TV that people found out that there's a market for that, and that became
right
a genre
of
television. And now we watch reality TV.
That's what dovetailed into like reality television. Like reality television.
Good word.
Like,
good word.
Thank you, listeners.
But right now there's Chikara on the East Coast. Well, that's like the big indie promotion.
But yeah, I was going to say, so why don't we, on another episode, when we talk about wrestling, we'll have Ian on, a good friend of ours,
yeah,
listener of the show. And have him talk about Chikara, and we'll talk more about ECW, and we'll talk more about... There was another one in our area, wasn't there? I could have swore there was.
There was Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor, I think it's like a Midwest promotion, technically, but they travel around. I'm actually not sure where they're based out of, but they do shows in like Chicago and New York and stuff like that.
There was me wrestling my wrestling buddy in the living room that nobody videotaped ever for some stupid reason.
Yeah, you beat the Ultimate Warrior, didn't you?
Oh, it was epic.
And his belt wouldn't come off of his cloth. He wouldn't remove it.
Well, I had my own belt. So I didn't need his shitty belt. Intercontinental shitty champion.
Dude, let's do a syndication station, the wrestling cast. I want to do that. Let's do a syndication station where we maybe watch old wrestling.
Yeah, well, yeah, let's definitely
like old WrestleMania
form where we could watch like some program that's open to a lot of people. I have the WWE Network, so I have everything. But I mean, this is a good episode, good transition into this episode. But yeah. I want to hear what you two did this week as well.
All right.
I've talked so long, I feel like
jerk. I'm glad. No, I wanted to end the podcast just now. I thought that was good enough, to be honest. No, I was really interested, and I think it's really cool that you want to see some live wrestling, and then we got to talk about it. It does sort of. It obviously has to do exactly with what we're watching and everything. I'm into it, Dom. I'm into your life. I don't care what Josh did this week. I didn't do shit. Whatever.
I don't care what I did this week either.
Yeah, man. Josh, what
dick.
I drink to forget the pain. I don't know.
Josh, what were you up to this week, honey?
I don't know what I did. I don't remember. I think I went to a Phillies game today. That's a baseball, mm-hmm. the sport baseball.
Mm-hmm. Somebody hit a home run, didn't they?
Chase Utley hit a home run. Humdinger. Mm-hmm. I had Federal donuts. It was delicious.
How were the Federal donuts, Josh?
They're not to be consumed in too much quantity, or else you die. Mm-hmm. You get heart disease and cancer from them.
Die in your 40s, just like every wrestler. It's like doing steroids for 20 years, eating one Federal donut.
So that's what I did today. Other than that, I didn't really do a whole lot except work on stuff.
Next time I'm in Philly, let's go to a game and let's get some fucking smoked turkey legs.
Yes, dude, yes.
I want to go. Okay, when you come home, we got to go to a Renaissance fair and just eat fucking turkey legs.
Oh my god, yes, please. Mm. I haven't been to the Ren Fair, PA Ren Fair. Haven't been in years. I went to the New Hope one. Josh, when we were at Bucks, I went to the one in New Hope, and I saw that editing teacher who got fired. Remember that guy?
Oh, yeah, I remember that guy. Guys, this is side talk.
This is inside cast now. Yeah.
This is where we met each other. We met each other, I think.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. We will not say his name because I don't remember it.
I don't remember. because we respect his privacy, and also none of us remember what happened 5 years ago. And he had like Dom, you know what I'm talking about, the guy with the full sleeves, and he was like real heavy set, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he would like,
you'd know,
you'll know, you'll know.
I don't think I had him, but go on,
we'll talk about it off air. But I saw him there like maybe like the semester after he got fired, and like he was like selling chain mail. Oh, at the Ren Fair.
Oh, man, he got fired so hard he went back to the Middle Ages.
But there was the moral of that story is don't go to the New Hope Ren Fair, even though you can pay $10 for a coffee. There's no
he
goddamn
was like,
turkey
you're
legs.
Fired.
It was like, you're like, fire branded.
You know how to craft cheese, man.
What if he really did have like a nervous breakdown, and he was like, "I'm going back to the basics." He's like,
"Dude, he knew who I was." He like he yelled for me across the street.
Really? Did you buy chainmail from him?
I went over and talked to him. You know what? I couldn't remember what he was doing. I just did. He's actually a musician. You remember he was a musician?
Sure.
Remember that was he had a ponytail, so he was a musician.
I was a musician.
Oh, I know. I think his name was John.
Yes, it was Dom. Yes, it is. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And
he was just at his anvil editing a video with a hammer.
He's like, wait, and he turns it around. It's a sword. The video is of a sword. He's working on at the anvil.
It's a video of a sword.
Man, why'd they fire that guy? He was awesome.
It was fucking rad.
But yeah, he was playing music, and he's like, hey, I'm doing real good. And I was like, I didn't ask, but like I was nice to him. And but
you said that to him too. You were like, I didn't ask.
Dude, the moral of that story though was that no turkey legs, no goddamn turkey legs. New Hope.
No, not
bitch.
New Hope, dude.
Dude, we gotta go to the Shady Brook Farm Fair and get some popcorn.
Dude.
Sit around the fire, listen to someone cover Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Dude.
Do remember Undertaker was there? We didn't get to, or Gravedigger. Gravedigger was there.
Dude, I wrote on Gravedigger. My life hasn't been the same ever since, man.
That was a great time, man. Oh, dude, so good. Oh, yeah.
Seven dicks that day.
That's true.
I don't even want to do that. I don't even want to talk about the A-team anymore. Our lives are better than the
A-team. Dude, Holy Diver at the end of the hayride.
Dude, oh, Holy Diver.
Kill Switch version. The Kill Switch version.
Yeah. Be like, man, zombies love metal.
But yeah, man, we have a good time around here. But yeah, Dom, when you come home, PA Renfair, absolute must. Wrestling.
Shady Brook Farm, baby. I want a sheet of goat to get spooked.
Dude, Shady Brook Farm is too spooky for you. Everybody on the East Coast, come out to Pennsylvania, find out where we live, stalk us.
We'll do a meetup on Halloween.
Yeah, we should do a video from there. Shady Brook Farm. Why don't we do a video from there at some point? All right, we're way ahead of ourselves.
Anyway, let's talk. What did you do finally, Mike? What did you do?
Whatever. Who cares? I did the podcast today with you guys. I don't know.
All right, let's talk about the
let's talk about it. Yeah, no, no spooky cast this week. Even though I did tell Dom before the podcast, I told him earlier today.
Yeah, man,
I had a sleep paralysis dream last night. No bullshit.
What is wrong with you?
I think it's because I'm falling asleep on my back.
I think you're turning into a ghost.
Well, I have the most painful thing in my life to look forward to right before that happens. So we learned about a half hour ago when we started this thing. So, but yeah, man, I don't know. It was maybe a little bit of spooky cast. It was as horrifying this time as it was last week. I think I just had it because I knew we were doing the podcast today and I had to have something to talk about because I didn't do anything all week. All I did was go to work. You know what I did this week? Oh, stop. Everybody shut the fuck up. All right. God damn it. I went to the farmer's market in Newtown. Josh, I know you know what I'm talking about.
I love the farmer's market in Newtown.
Oh, yeah. And I got a pretzel dog. Pennsylvania Dutch pretzel wrapped around a hot dog.
Word. You didn't get falafel?
No, I didn't. I took it a little easy. I only had two pretzel dogs.
Oh, my God.
Dude, I love a pretzel
dog.
Yeah,
man, you got to come out.
My. That's like two of my favorite foods.
For anybody who doesn't know, or for anybody
pretzels
who doesn't know.
Pretzels and dogs.
Who's never had the pleasure.
I love those things.
Dog tastes the best when you wrap a dog in a pretzel.
In a pretzel.
Mm-hmm.
Soft pretzel, you know, big thing on the East Coast. I know everybody has it all over the country, sure, whatever. You know, and everybody says, oh, Philadelphia soft pretzel, New York soft pretzel. That's fine, whatever. Pennsylvania Dutch pretzel, totally different story. Totally different story.
They make them good because they get drunk a lot.
Yeah, these is that Amish folk. And they make the pretzel, and it's delicious. So there was cheese in it. I don't know. Back to
Now
there's cheese in your fucking arteries right now, dude.
Dude, I'm gonna die in my 40s from a heart attack and cancer from eating goddamn Pennsylvania Dutch pretzel dogs. It's like wrestling for 20 years. But I don't know, man. Sleep paralysis dream last night was I was falling asleep and someone was at the end of the bed pulling the blankets off me, and I was desperately trying to grab the blankets to pull them back because we talked about it, how you're safe under the blankets, and I was I couldn't move my arms. And so I'm coming out of sleep, and I'm like, the blankets are coming off of me, and I can feel the person. Like, I can feel somebody's hands on them, like, pulling them. It's not like they're just disappearing, and then I woke up.
Man, get back to me when this is a real ghost.
Dude, I woke up, blankets on me. Sun was coming up, though. I woke up at dawn, and that was it. There are no real spooky casts this week, folks. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Mike, you know what that was?
My documented nervous breakdown isn't more interesting this week. Yeah. Tom, what was it?
It was the blowjob ghost from Ghostbusters.
Oh, man, I wish.
Were you dressed as a pirate for some reason?
Unexplained. Never explained.
Not in the movie. It's because they shot it. It's because they shot it before they knew what the movie was going to really be or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And they were in space, and for some reason he was a pirate in space.
Yeah. Yeah, that's 100% accurate. Dude, in my memory, in the mashup of the things in my memory, and I'm sure this happens to you guys and probably our listening audience too. You know what? Listening audience, leave a comment or start a thread about movies you mix up in your head or scenes from movies and TV shows you mix up in your head, because I know this happens. It has to happen to other people when the sexy ghost is coming towards Ray to give him the blowjob. Yeah. In my head, it's the ghost that comes out of the Ark of the Covenant at the end of Raiders.
It's the same ghost.
It's the same ghost.
It's the same spooky god ghost.
She's so sexy. And the guy's like, Donovan's like, it's beautiful. And then all of a sudden, Ray.
Shut your eyes, Mary.
And then Ray's face like that. His face just melts off.
It melts off. Dude, we should
That's how
that
hard that guy jizzed. He was like, I jizzed so hard and my skin came off.
It blew the Ark of the Covenant up to heaven.
Oh my God.
Who hasn't been there? All right, Mike, I want to talk about Body Slam.
Oh my god.
I would say without a doubt the best named episode of the A-Team, but there are funnier named episodes.
There are lots of funny names.
The first one is called Mexican Sleigh Ride with S-L-A-Y, I believe. That's a pretty good name for the episode.
Can we just talk about how if we were to make a show, and I'm not saying that we would have been genius enough to make this show, but this show is a close approximation to the thing we probably would make.
This show is fucking insane.
It's insane.
It's insane. It's crazy. Throughout the almost every episode, they are committing major crimes, holding guns to military policemen.
Yeah, dude. These guys. All right. So all right. Let's. A-Team, Season 4, Episode 7, Body Slam. Here we go. Here's what the guys and I discussed before the episode for you, our listening audience. We're going to talk about this episode because there's so much to talk about. Not like Dinosaurs where there's underlying themes. I think we already spent 25 minutes talking about how awesome wrestling was. So we're going to talk about everything that happens in this episode and how you make a TV as good as a TV show as good as this. Make a TV as good as this.
Make it the TV as good as this.
Yeah, make it a TV. I think what we'll do is revisit the A-Team in another episode and talk about the show. Talk about the production of the show, the cultural legacy of the show. A couple of people brought up some controversies about the show, actor histories. We'll get into all that and the stuff that we usually do, maybe in another episode. Because we just want to talk about how fucking crazy this episode
is. Wait, what are some controversies about the show? I want to talk about that.
About sexism and about how it was a boys club show and all that. Look, another episode.
It is a show about four men, and one of them is his name is Face because he fucks all the women.
Because he face fucks them. I was watching this with a very good friend of mine, and she, the second that Dirk Benedict came on screen, she's like, "Who is that?" Like the second he came on screen, I was like, "You know what? That his name is Face."
Was she your 58-year-old neighbor?
he's like 21 years old in this show. He's a handsome man. He drives a white Corvette with a red interior. Josh, I mean, come on.
Oh yeah,
yeah, Starbucks. All right. Let's get into it. So the A-Team. What can we say? Real quick, vital stats. The super super quick vital stats are. Frank Lupo, Stephen Cannell, they made the show. They made every show, and every show they made was great. The music was done by Mike Post and Pete Carpenter. They made every theme song in the 80s. Every theme song they made was great, but this is obviously their masterpiece, et cetera, et cetera. So the show stars George Peppard, who was a Hollywood veteran actor. I wouldn't say A-list, but he definitely had the acting chops and the credentials. He was sort of the legitimacy to the show. Every show in
the 80s, he was the Obi-Wan.
Yeah, like the ensemble cast. And you know what, actually, one other quick footnote about this show. So for those who have watched it, it may not have never clicked because I think I didn't put it together until we watched this episode because I haven't watched it, like sat down and actually watched an episode in forever and thought about the series. We've talked on this podcast before about episodic television shows and anthologies. And this show is almost an anthology. There's an overarching story, and this episode happens to intersect with Decker, antagonist of the entire series. But week to week, you get the premise set up in the intro narrative before the theme song, and then they go off and they have their Scooby-Doo adventure, which is so funny. I put that in my notes, and I saw a couple of our commenters. Oh my god, I just fucking said it! God damn it! Some of our listeners / contributors, our contributing editors, they made the same connection about how. It's not Scooby-Doo formula, but it's sort of just like, okay, well, you know, Scooby and the gang are going to go solve a mystery. It's not a week to week. There's not a long plot. It's not 20 episodes getting to
instead of like catching the bad guy with some elaborate goofy trap, they like make an elaborate goofy trap.
They make the trap and like
or some ridiculous heist where they act.
Yep.
I have a note I made later. Though there was a time when the show did jump the shark, and there was a afterthought season to the show's heyday, and this episode we watched was fast approaching that. This show's design was almost set up so it could never have had jump the shark. I mean, any show can jump the shark, but like
this show jumps the shark like
every episode, right? It starts off. A lot of our contributors said the same exact thing as I know I put in my notes. I'm sure you guys put in your notes. It's a cartoon. It's a cartoon. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, that Tom and Jerry are going to be Tom and Jerry in the episode. You don't need again, an entire season to explain to you the plot. So it's almost an anthology, if not by, like, pure definition, just by approach. So, all the shows that were like this, like, what was it, Hardcastle and McCormick, right? The Fall Guy, all the shows that were just
Fall
like
Guy.
This.
Yeah, yeah. Tom Selleck's show, what was
it? Oh, Magnum P.I. Oh, that, all the same creative.
Miami Vice.
Yeah, dude, all the same creative, you know, people, like, behind that. Miami Vice was, what's his name? Oh, was involved in that, wasn't he? Michael Mann. Didn't he create that? Or wasn't he?
Oh, sure? I don't know. I was just naming shows.
No, but
I thought we were all just naming shows.
Yeah, no, like, it's the same thing. And Magnum P.I. is, like, a good example. Like, how, like, the beginning and end of every episode, there was, like, a little bit, like, extra to the plot.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, it's funny. This episode, the A-Team, was a little atypical for the series, too, which we'll get into. But, so you had George Peppard, who was sort of, like, you know, again, the, he was the old hat. And every episode you watch, you can see him trying to act his way out of being on the series, which is a shame.
You can tell. You can just tell. He's just like, what the fuck?
What the fuck? And for those who don't know, and again, like, we'll do this in another episode, but check him out in Breakfast at Tiffany's, where he is a smooth motherfucker. Dirk Benedict, of course, from Battlestar Galactica. Dwight Schultz, who would go on to do TNG, who we talked about a couple times before. Mr. T, who had just come off of Rocky III, where that was his first acting gig after he was a Golden Gloves boxing champion and a bouncer. He was, like, in the 80s, for those who don't know, nightclubs in the 70s, of course, 70s and then a little bit in the 80s, nightclubs were a huge fucking deal. And everybody involved in a nightclub, the owners, the bartenders, the bouncers, were all famous.
Like celebrities.
They were celebrities. And Mr. T was a celebrity bouncer in a Chicago bar. And I think these two pimps, like, tried to take credit for, like, creating the character of Mr. T.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other story. So anyway, so that's, like, you have your, that's the show. So there it is. Creators, stars, music. Let's get into it. Guys, tell us about the fucking opening intro. Tell us about the setup.
My favorite. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dom.
No, I'm saying, go ahead.
No, 1975. Go ahead. Say your favorite part.
My favorite is the preview of the episode before the episode.
Yeah.
The 80s. You had to know what you were in for before you committed to an hour of television because there wasn't anything else to do.
Yeah.
You had to know what you were about to watch.
Especially if you had a big star like Hulk Hogan on the episode. You were like, hey, kids, look who's going to be on. You're going to see him.
Yeah. It was a family show, which is something we'll get into, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
But dude, the preview before the episode that, like, gave you this, it lets you know that it's what, like, you're about to watch is not terrible.
Right. I guess, right?
I guess. And then, like, a lot, I don't know if this was the first show to do it, but this is definitely the show that does it the best, where they tell you what the show is. They tell you, they give you the premise every week. It's the mantra. It's in case you didn't know, in case you're a first time viewer, and in case you forgot how fucking awesome it is in 1975.
You know what I mean? Like,
or 72 or whatever.
Commandos.
Right. You know? And, like, it's so clever. It's such a clever device to, like,
It's a clever device that goes on to, a fugitive with his friends at a wrestling match. Mind you, wrestling is probably the biggest it's ever been.
Yep.
And B.A. is decked out in Hulkamania gear.
Dude,
he's wearing Hulkamania everything. And he's holding the belt. Yeah. And he's yelling. I wonder if any of that is on camera. And I wonder if, I don't know, the police that are looking for these gentlemen may be watching this broadcast.
Tom, clearly Hannibal Smith, in the character Hannibal Smith, played by George Peppard, he shows up in the beginning of the episode. Now, for those, again, who don't know, or if you're a first-time viewer to the show, what you're treated to is that Hannibal's character, he's the man of a thousand faces. He's about the disguises.
And yeah, so he's like a Mission Impossible James Bond guy.
Right. He shows, and he always wears the black leather gloves because he cares about his fingerprints. You know, like, he shows up at and he's like, he's a peanut vendor, and he's like, maybe we shouldn't be in the front row. And faces like Face, who's, guys, pop quiz, what's his character's name on the show? What's his character's real name?
Face Man.
Mm-mm, that's what they call it.
No,
they call him
no
Face
it's
Man.
What is his name?
Templeton Peck.
Peck. Templeton Peck. That's
yep.
Right.
Templeton.
Templeton Peck. And so Templeton, the rat from Charlotte's
Web. The rat. Yeah.
Exactly. Paul Lynn. He's played by Paul Lynn. So Yeah, he's like, you want us to take next shift? And then Hannibal's like, and he like leaves. But like, this is obviously in a different time.
That was not written in the script. He just did that. Left it in the show.
Where you would dismiss the idea that like Deckard and like the military police would be looking for the A-team on television. They're smarter than being on TV. Right. And Mr. T is unrecognizable in his weightlifting belt that he never takes off the entire episode. Him and Hulk and Mr. T wear weightlifting belts for 90% of this episode. It's great. And somebody left a comment about it. We'll get to the
comment. Well, someone might ask, why are these men so big? Oh, they must work out.
they work out all the time. Dude, they work out all the time. Wait, I got to find this. It's, I left myself a comment. Mr. T weightlifting belt. Dude, it's so good. It was Dr. H. He goes, why do BA and the Hulkster always wear weight belts? And Diode for Justice's response to him was, I think they wear weight belts because they throw people practically nonstop.
Dude.
They do. That's how people are beat up.
Dude, the first 10 minutes of this episode, some dude's getting thrown into a wall. Into a wall.
Into a popcorn table.
Dude, and
out of a window.
And out of a, oh my god. So on the subreddit, I think it was Red Xena posted about the episode this week and left a montage of, you know, like a mashup video from YouTube of somebody making, it was 75 like leg drops from like Hulkamania, from Hulk, like during wrestling. And it's so funny because in the related videos for that, for me, after looking up like A-team theme song and everything, was a 5-minute supercut of Mr. T throwing people through things from the team. Dude, man, so this show, it's like, okay, you get the setup and you're like, if you need help, if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-team. Awesome music. Cut to the show, which is shot really well, and you're like treated to some almost legit WWF wrestling. Like, it's happening. Like, you get to see the Hulkster wrestle on television, right?
Was
in front
he wrestling
of you, right?
Hacksaw? Is that who he was wrestling?
I don't know who it was. Actually,
he might have been wrestling Hacksaw in the first match, but the second match was Greg.
Yeah, that's a real thing. That's like stock footage.
I forget that dude's name. But then the third guy was, wait, was he wrestling Big John Studd?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
Somebody
I meant to make a note too, and I forgot. He wrestled. it was some of those guys. Greg, the Hammer Valentine. Is that his name?
That sounds about right.
I'll put it to our listeners. Put it to our listeners. Listeners, contribute to what you do best and post about it on the subreddit and we'll get talking about it.
Or just Google it and forget about it.
just forget what you mentioned it. But dude, man, you start off and like the credits, the actual credit roll that's over the episode, we're treated to like the slow motion, like, you know, freeze frame camera work of like 1985. It was like so perfect.
What was that? They kept doing that with the wrestling. They kept slowing it down. I was like, this is not more impactful or anything. Dude, but I guess it wasn't very big otherwise because they didn't have the reaction of the
Dom's
crowd. They
music, Dom, music videos.
Dude, yeah, big guys move in slow motion. They're so big, they move slow. That's
true.
Yeah, that's what happened, man. And dude, it's so great because like it's an advertisement for you go to Mean Gene, which we'll get to, you know, I mean, I always say that, but like, you know, cut to Hulkster doing his camera rap with Mean Gene. Dude, you're watching an episode of WWF. It's such a great tie-in. And it's, you get this, it doesn't feel pluggy. It doesn't feel like product placement-y for some reason. For some reason, it's like, yeah, man, that was the 80s. Like in the 80s,
I never thought that ever felt product placement-y. Because, I mean, especially in this time, that was going on a lot with, like, Cyndi Lauper and wrestling and the Goonies video.
Yeah, well,
it's
funny you say that because this is the year of WrestleMania 1.
Yeah.
In 1985. And the main event was Hulk Hogan and Mr. T versus Rowdy Roddy Piper and Mr. Wonderful.
Mm. Yes, it was. Yeah, dude, Mr. T, who was a superstar. He had been catapulted into superstardom. And while, you know, wrestling was you know, really ramping up, and obviously this was the first step, WrestleMania 1, like, this was just this is when you could see, like, the snowball really, really gaining speed down the hill, you know, and turning into an avalanche with, like, Mr. T, or with Hulk Hogan, because, like, ultimately this all converges in, like, 1987 with WrestleMania 3 and him body slamming Andre the Giant.
Which he had done before.
Right, which he had done before, but he hadn't done before in WrestleMania. Like, could he do it? Could he beat Andre? He was a giant, Dom. A giant.
He was a giant man. It's funny because you look at those guys and you kind of forget that Hulk is like a huge man. He's like 6'7" or something crazy.
Yeah, he's gigantic.
So Andre, you're like, oh yeah, he's a tall guy, but no, he was like a very large person.
He's twice the size. He's the size of a house. And like, you know, when you're watching the beginning of the show, you're steeped in just like the culture of the 80s. It's like television rules all. Everything is entertainment. Like there's no differentiating between one form of entertainment or another. They're all blended together, and everything's crossover, and everything, you know, pulls you in and makes you feel like part of it. Like, you know, Mr. T wearing all the Hulkster stuff. You're like, oh, this is great. And everybody looks like they're ready to go to the gym at a moment's notice. So, you know, everybody's really...
That was the 80s. Good. Yeah. Everyone was ready to go to the gym.
All the time.
Or fuck or party.
Or do cocaine. Yeah.
Which actually, you wear the same clothes to do all three things.
Yes. You have to wear a weightlifting belt when you do cocaine. Everybody knows that.
Or else you're going to do too much cocaine and die.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Tom, why don't you tell me a little bit about Mean Gene?
Well, Mean Gene is funny in this episode because not only does he do his normal routine of interviewing the wrestlers backstage, but for some reason he's also calling the entire match by himself. Probably because it costs money to get Gorilla Monsoon and Jesse the Body Ventura, who is one of my favorite commentators of all time.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of my favorite people of all time because he's fucking crazy.
Dude, agreed. Jesse the Body Ventura in... Running Man is awesome.
When he comes out with that like toaster on his shoulder and he's like, "What is this shit?" He like rips it off.
It's so funny because like that minor character who's only in the film briefly and he kills. Yeah. He does a great job, but he kind of like, you know, enhances the world that much more by having this mentality of like, you know, Running Man was a show that evolved out of like wrestling.
Yeah. Again, wrestling. The blending, the blurring of the lines between one form of entertainment and another. Like where does one fiction end and another begin? You know, it was great. Like the '80s was a great like mashup of all that, man. Like
it was also a great eighties were a great time to be a science fiction writer because you'd be like, man, arcades are really popular. What about an arcade boy? And people got lost in them. It was or like, you know, like, man, Dungeons and Dragons is really popular. What about like a Dungeons and Dragons book that people go in and then it's real?
Yep.
Dude, I love the 80s, man. I love Jesse Ventura too. He's one of my favorite people. He was one of my favorite governors. Remember, kids, 9/11 was an inside job.
whoa.
Bring him home, Obama.
I'm laughing because it's real. But dude, man, this episode is so... You're 5 minutes into this episode. The yelling doesn't stop for one. Everybody is even Mean Gene is yelling. Everybody is yelling. It's perfect for me. Hannibal was the only character who didn't yell. And the yelling never ends. And you're like, I've been teleported to another magical time 30 years in the past in 1985. And then you jump to, we find out Hulk Hogan's character was in Vietnam. Is that canon? Somebody want to answer that for me?
He never was in Vietnam.
Yeah, no. I mean, neither the WWF character is ever mentioned being in Vietnam. Right. And the real Hulk Hogan was...
Terry Bollea was not in Vietnam.
Right, and he was definitely age-appropriate. But, I mean...
Yeah, I don't think he might have been a little young.
Yeah, no, he would have been 70. He would have been 17 and 70. He was the same age as my dad.
The draft stopped in 72.
Yeah. So, yeah, he would have been in Vietnam. Yeah, I mean, what's it called? So, what a weird... I get that it makes sense to the show because, you know, the A-Team are... They get very little... You know about the A-Team. Let me tell you about the A-Team. They give very little personal backstory about the characters. And there are a couple episodes where... spoilers, when they get caught and they get court-martialed and all that, where you find out and, like, you find out, like, what they were accused of. And there's a couple other episodes earlier than that and all that talk about it. But, like, they don't give, like, a direct... Like, they don't give, like, a dossier on, like, every character or, like, the actions of every character, which is nice because it leaves it open to up for interpretation. Like, even when Hannibal turns around and he's like, B.A., you knew, Hulk Hogan in Vietnam.
Da-nang.
It was, like, right, there was a time, and they talk about being in Saigon Hospital. There was a time prior to the three of them, well, the four of them plus Murdoch being together in Vietnam. There was obviously a time before they were all Green Berets together.
Yeah, I don't know how accurately they kept track of all that, though.
Right.
I mean, that might have just been like a, this happened. We got to put him in. How does Mr. T know Hulk Hogan?
And how do you make Hulk Hogan even more American?
Right.
He
fought for America in Vietnam because America needed to go fight.
Yeah. Well, Diode for Justice is like, also, Hulk was never in Vietnam. And then Maffo Dope says, uber douchey. Which, I mean, I don't think it was meant to be like a disrespect to the veterans of Vietnam.
No, but you're trying to create
a likable character within your universe. Like, you're trying to tell a story, and also I like how they talk about Vietnam like it was a night that they had too many beers.
like it was a bachelor party.
Vietnam, and I had to carry you home from Vietnam. Yeah. Remember?
You took that grenade shell. It's like, dude.
You know, it's funny. We talked about Deer Hunter earlier, and aside from a couple like really scathing and sobering films at the time, and obviously the dialogue was going on, but in the action movie or the action show genre, this was a time when people wanted to feel good about what had happened. Like, it was 10 years later and all of a sudden the glasses were really rose tinted. Rambo or First Blood 2, Rambo Strikes Back, or whatever the fuck it's called. Like, that was like, he's going back to Vietnam to win the war. Like, that's in the trailer. It's so bizarre. And like, a lot of cartoons were like, they sort of took up the mantle of being like, and then after Vietnam, it's like, you know what happened after Vietnam? Our country fucking changed forever because it was so horrible. It was so horrible.
Everyone had a hangover, just like kind of like we did. We still do from like 9/11
and all that stuff. Yeah, well, that's why I really like, I brought this up the other day. That's why I really like Team America, because what they try to say with that film, and I know this is a crazy tangent out of left field.
What they try to say
with that film is that being American, it was really hard to figure out what. Being an American at that time, it was really hard to figure out like what side you were on and if you should be with all this patriotism stuff and what did that mean.
Right.
And it's like films come out that reflect that feeling, and that is good art.
Yeah, no, yeah. I agree. Yeah. And I don't think that the 80s sensationalization or even maybe the homogenization of like the post Vietnam sentiment.
I mean, you could call it like exploitation of it. You could call it that, but
it doesn't feel like jingoist though. There are a lot of rom coms that come out now that are like, they're like, and then he came back from Iraq and fell in love with his. It's like, nobody wants to hear that about the Iraq war that we were just in. What people should hear about, like, with the Iraq war in Afghanistan is how horrible it is, what a terrible plight the veterans have right now. But it's too real and too sobering, and we're too close.
Well, that's exactly why they did it. That's why this time, like, during this time that was going on. Because after Vietnam, immediately after, that's when you get blockbuster films, because people wanted to forget. They wanted Star Wars, you know?
They want to see shark eat people. Yeah.
And that's still going on.
And then the shark shows up
here.
And then the shark comes.
And then the shark gets there. They get the jaws.
Then it gets the jaws.
See you next week, everybody.
All right. Let's talk about when Hulk Hogan's like, hang on, brother. Let me get changed out of these. Let me get changed into some clothes, I think is the line.
Yeah.
And the next scene, do you see the clothes he gets changed into?
It's like a different version of him in clothes.
Like, he put on mittens. He's like wearing mittens in the next scene. Like, that's it. That's the next thing that happens. Dude, everybody says, hey. The beginning of everybody's sentences in the show is, hey. Which is great.
You can tell people who aren't used to acting.
Right.
When they start saying things like, hey, all the time.
Hey, all the time.
Well, what's the funny thing about Hulk Hogan's language in this episode is that they were always trying to push Hulk as this wholesome, 100% American, untouchable human being. Mm. And they do it in No Holds Barred as well, with the same language about like him being super into donating to charity.
Dude, it's so funny you said that, because the whole time I'm like, wasn't there something in No Holds Barred about? And I forgot to look it up. Like, you know, like when he fights Zeus Lister, which is, oh my God.
That movie is bad. I was trying to watch it the other night, and I was just like, no, this isn't fun.
That's another movie where they tried to make that movie real, where didn't he wrestle?
He was a real wrestler, and another promotion wanted to buy him. Uh-huh. So they like tried to make him sell out, and he was like, if you want to impress me, you can start by donating to my charity.
No, but I mean, like, in real life, in real WrestleMania, wasn't that another thing where they did the crossover where, like, the character from the movie actually shows up in real life or wrestling real life?
Did he wrestle?
I know he wasn't a wrestler. That's a good question.
I think probably. I can't remember 100% if they did or when they did, but I think it probably happened.
Dude, it's so crazy. I put this note here, and you guys got to jog my memory because I can't. Okay, I wrote, laughing so hard I'm crying. That's okay. Note one. And underneath I wrote, quote, even bigger than the Hulkster. And I'm starting to laugh thinking about it now, and I don't remember who said it.
I think a little kid. No. The woman, the orphanage lady, says it. I think
she's like, he's even bigger than the Hulkster. And dude, I couldn't. I had to pause the episode. I was laughing so hard just about how, but not because it was so absurd or ridiculous, because it was so entertaining, and I was having so much fun. I was having so much fun watching. It's like what?
Because you're watching a show about a big man who meets his friend who's the biggest man.
Dude, the plot to this episode was the plot to every episode, though. Because even though there was
it's the Three Stooges plot. Three Stooges
it's
plot.
It's the Three Stooges plot. Even though the formula was a touch off, it's still the same plot. The Rick James and the Boy George episodes are a little different, and the second Hulk episode is also kind of a little different too. But like every episode, it's this is what happens. Some guys in suits show up to shake down an attractive woman.
Yeah, everyone's getting shaken down. Everyone's got shaken down.
Who owns a gun and pulls a gun
in front of a child.
You motherfucker.
A kid is feet away from the barrel of a gun.
And he looks at the gun, he's just like, oh, man.
Dude,
I wanted a kickball.
Dude, I wrote, these are my notes that, the guy threatens the girl's business, so she threatens his houseboat, ? Because she's like, I'll come down to the dock. And I said, or was this just a time in the 80s when everybody lived on boats? Because that was a thing, too. That is a total 80s thing. Overboard.
Everyone had a waterbed, too. Everyone was sleeping on water.
On a waterbed, on
evil
a yacht.
Evil people had them, and blue-collar people couldn't afford him, so obviously, if you had a boat, you were evil.
You were evil, and like, yeah, dude, every 80s villain lives on a boat, and so, the kid comes into the room, and that's when she decides to pull the gun on the guy, not when she could, when she nonchalantly stands up, and she could have been cool. The kid runs in, and she's like, oh, now's my chance, and I put, did you see that kid's face? And I don't think I have to say what I think we know. Everybody knows what that kid was thinking, because I can't say it on this podcast, but it went through, because it was 1985, and this kid's like, please, I don't think I have to tell you what that kid was saying when he gave that sassy-ass look. That was the sassiest look any kid has ever given an adult.
He looked like he saw, like, 50 guns earlier that day. Like, he was like, yeah, whatever.
Well,
He's living in Venice, dude. He's living in Venice Beach in 1985, man. And I said, dude, she's not shaken up for, by telling the guy to leave. She actually asks him, instead of being like, get out of here, I'll call the cop, which I don't, she doesn't have to be that character, but you would think sort of like, but then you find out later her dad was like maybe a mobster and she's like kind of a tough guy and all. So
he
instead,
had gold.
Right. He had gold. So she's a tough girl. And she calls her dad Lou and said, dad. So she's a tough girl.
So you know. Must be Lou Albano, by the way.
Yeah. Dude, you motherfucker. I wrote that. I was like, Lou Albano? ? Another wrestling tie-in.
In
also,
my notes, I wrote
Mario.
Captain Lou Mario.
Mario.
I wonder if that woman was supposed to be Cyndi Lauper.
Maybe that was their idea. Like, maybe that was like a
maybe
written.
She didn't want to do the episode.
Interesting, because the whole wrestling tie-in.
Yeah.
Dude, so she goes.
That's totally that. But that plot is totally the plot of
the Goonies,
the fucking Cyndi Lauper music video with the Goonies.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Because wrestlers come to shake her down.
Holy
and
shit,
she goes on an adventure to find the gold of her like lost ancestor.
Oh my god,
that's what this book is.
We cracked the case.
We cracked the code. 30 years later, we decided.
So this script was totally written for that. They couldn't get the rights either from
Spielberg. Spielberg
or Cyndi Lauper didn't want to do it, and they just made this instead.
They're like, find somebody who looks like Cyndi.
Unbelievable, guys. Dude, it's so funny, because I wrote here, I was like, every plot is exactly the same, and that's, every plot's exactly the same, man.
Yeah.
So if you don't know what we're talking about, go watch the music video for Goonies Are Good Enough.
Yeah, man. It's, dude, so what we get is, back to my stupid point. I'm sorry. Like, so what happens is like, guys in suits show up, or not always in suits, but guys with guns, or somebody shows up to shake down
bad
a pretty
guys.
Girl. And the pretty girl
case,
doesn't have a recourse.
You know, some big old wops.
Dude, and in Los Angeles, those were the most Italian-looking guys that they could find. And so they
well, if you're like, if you are Italian or Spanish or Mexican,
yeah.
you can play a bunch of stuff, especially in wrestling. If you're Italian, you can be an Indian.
Yep. Yeah, dude.
Yo, you a know crying what I
wrote,
Indian.
You know what I wrote about about Papa, the generic Italian mob boss dude? I wrote, yeah. He's almost Anthony Quinn. Which is not my joke. That's a Mystery Science Theater 3000 joke. But like the second he came on, I was like, they were just like, give us the most Anthony Quinn looking motherfucker you possibly can find. Just find Italian guy. But like, dude,
do you remember that string of that period of time where every like food commercial had some guy who looked like Jack Black?
What are you
They're
talking
like,
about?
Get me Jack Black. And then they just got some guy who looked like Jack Black.
I think that happened a lot on television. When?
Yeah, it was when Jack Black came out with, like, School Rock and he blew up and, like, there was a bunch of commercials. It always happens.
He blew up?
He's dead.
He's been dead for 10 years. Yeah, he blew up like the guy from Big Trouble in Little China, you guys.
Yeah.
Or Naked Gun, whatever.
Yeah.
Dude, oh my god. All right, so here's what happens. Guys show up, shake down pretty girl. Pretty girl has no recourse but to call the A-team.
Right.
Which sort
and
of
they all the... know her somehow. In this all, episode, they know they, her because
there always
Hulk knows
is...
her.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, no, that's there's always some tie-in or connection, or if they don't know her, you know, and like, dude.
A lot of times they just know her. And it's like, how many women do you just know across the country?
Well, Face Man.
Face has been around.
Well, Face.
So, but what's so interesting is that in and of itself, and they even mentioned a couple times in the episode, always brought into question for me the premise of the show, was that they were Green Berets or Special Forces guys who obviously were trained in a certain type of like espionage or infiltration, and clearly like they MacGyver all these situations and everything, and they make all these big machines, which I apologize to anybody who had never seen the show prior to this episode. You miss out on this.
They don't make a machine.
They don't make a thing.
They don't make a machine this episode.
I'm sorry. We will watch one where they make something awesome. Probably
like a
tank. Bulldozer. A bulldozer
yeah.
that shoots cabbage. Yeah, that's
yeah.
usually what
a gun. A gun that shoots guns.
It's a gun, dude. You read my fucking mind. I was going to say a gun that shoots like bigger bullets, like a moving gun.
It just shoots firing Uzis.
That's 80s and shit,
dude. And then that's the premise, right? But what happens instead is every episode is. The A-Team are just a bunch of con artists. And they even say in this episode how they run cons. They're more like grifters. Like,
yeah,
the show could
like
have been
grifters,
set up like yeah, they're wanted by the FBI for being, you know, sneaky grifters, sneaky con men. But instead, they're like, they're green. Because they have to make it, like, all patriotic and shit. And, like, why, you know, they're...
They so have like, to make them good. They can't.
Right,
the show would probably be better if they were just villains doing all this shit.
Right.
There was a number of times though in this episode where I was like, "Man, these guys are kind of bad guys."
Yeah.
Templeton goes into the FBI building, and I was like, "That is fucking dumb." I was like, "What you are doing is dumb." I don't care how Green Beret you are. Don't do that.
They'll never expect it. It's crazy enough to work.
They'll never see it coming.
Cut to everyone shot and dead.
He walks in the bathroom and then the FBI, who are America's police force.
Yeah.
The guy's like, I'm glad the show has half a brain too, which it always does, even though it's silly. It does have half a brain. Like, The FBI agent looks at him and is like, that guy doesn't belong here. Like, he just, like, knows, like, instantly. Yeah. And so what's so great is, like, even though the show's, like, followed, like, the same formula all the time or whatever, you get a little deviation, you know, from the norm. Like, in this episode, instead of the girl being helpless or the police not being able to do something about it, you have a different reason why the A-team is helping or in a different capacity. And what you it's sort of like self-serving because you find out later it's like because there's stolen gold and the cops would have like, you know, that would have put a kibosh on the plot right there. So maybe they even tried to work that in. But also the girl in the beginning of this episode threatens to murder the guy, which is really kind of crazy. She goes, give me a reason. Right in front of that kid!
Yeah, man. I was like, Jesus Christ. Scarred for life, dude.
Dude, if he's not scarred for life then, when all the kids start screaming after Mr. T throws, or the Hulkster throws all those guys to that window, that plate glass window, which clearly would have murdered everybody. He would have been dead as shit.
He would have been bloody as hell, dude.
I like towards the end of the episode when there's the showdown at the wrestling event. Not to skip ahead too much, but they go Hulkster and BA go. We'll take care of these guys, the men wielding guns. They're like, we'll get them with our muscles and throws. They'll shoot you. Yeah. Somehow they get it done.
Tom, they fucking hit. They're the A-team, man. They handle it. Hulk Hogan was like, I want to be on the A-team. He was like, I should be part of the A-team. That's what happened. That was the phone call. The phone call was like, I want to be, because the A-team was huge. It was a huge cultural phenomenon. And he's like, I want to be on the A-team. And so you have that the chase in the van, man. BA's van, dude. The music, the van, it was awesome, man. And like, you guys remember like 10 years ago when like Dubs, like everybody had 20-inch rims and like all that shit. This was a time when the bigger your tires were, the cooler of a dude you were.
Oh yeah, man.
Like dude, those wheels are 5 inches across, and those tires are 40-inch tires.
That van has a spoiler on it.
The van needs the downforce, man. Those tires give so much traction, you fucking tear up all the asphalt fucking downtown LA, man.
They're like treads.
I ever tell you guys about that custom van that drove around my area that someone owned back when I was a kid in Levittown?
No.
It was airbrushed at both sides with this Star Wars scene. It was beautiful. I was like, that's just the thing that exists in everyone's life.
Yeah, man.
And then one day he sold it. But anyway,
you want that? You want that to be part of life, man? Dude, vans like that are so cool. They need spoilers. I mean, you saw how much air the BA's van got, dude.
It's jacked in the back, which is pretty cool.
Dude, it's
I love that. When I was a kid, I loved that van. I loved it. That's a cool car, dude.
Yeah, man.
Hell yeah, dude. I've played with that toy while listing it on eBay for the comic book store I worked for.
Oh my! It's red, the black, the lift kit, the semi-tractor trailer wheels. Like, you know,
the bubble windows.
And you know what's cool too is like, dude. You know what's so cool too is like, in a lot of episodes the van gets trashed, and even in this episode they mention it that like they kind of don't like continuity it away. Like, oh, the bumper's fixed. They're always like, I have to fix it, or BA would get pissed off when something would happen to the van because it was BA's van. You know, and he's like, man, hey Hannibal, hey fool, that's my van. You know what I mean? Like, he goes nuts, dude. Oh,
so it's funny that any impression of BA on this show is spot on.
That's it, man.
Because he's just an impression. At this point, he's just like a parody of himself.
Which he always was. He was always a cat. I don't know Mr. T's real name. I don't know his real name.
I don't know either. I think it's cancer. Mr. T.
No, he did beat cancer. Knows. Nobody knows.
You ever listen to that thing where he's like, you die of cancer, you're a pussy. Like, he was
damn,
crazy. I think it was on Howard Stern. He was like, I beat cancer because I'm not a pussy.
Josh, I can't believe that, dude. Of all the episodes of Howard Stern for all those years, I actually heard that episode. I listened to it when it was on TV. The book he was writing that he shopped around that I don't think ever got published was called Cancer Saved My Life.
Yeah.
And it was about how, like, he found Jesus more so. And right. You know what? Real quick sidebar to that. And you know, again, a lot of the hallmarks of the A-Team episodes aren't in this show. This episode, like, he's not wearing all the gold. Like, he's not wearing all the gold this episode. And
Well, because it would get in the way of the Hulkamania shirt he has.
Right, exactly. And like, that was a Mr. T thing that was worked in. Like, BA didn't always have that, but because BA was more BA Baracus's character was more punk rock, like with the mohawk, and like, and so he didn't always have like the Mr. T rings and the necklaces and everything. But like, when I remember being a little kid and or younger, I guess, when I was a teenager, and like he had gotten cancer, and my mom's like, he got cancer from wearing all that gold. And I was like, that's not how it works. And she's like, no, like heavy metals. Like, if you're exposed to heavy metal, that much heavy metal for that long.
Well, it might not have been gold. It could have been lead. He could have around his neck.
It could have been mixed, and it could have been
like gold plated lead.
Yeah. Right. And it could have been.
Get some broken. It could have been, chain,
and it could have lowered his immune system and all that. And like, it's so funny that like years later, it's so funny. I mean, like years later, like, you know, I grew up and I started thinking about it. I was like, man, dude, you wear all that gold, you gotta get cancer. That's what happens. That's what happened to King Midas. Yeah. That's why they had to start. I don't.
That's why they gave him that touch.
That's not
spread his cancer.
That wasn't.
You got the power.
It's called leukemia. Can we talk about the funny things in the woman's office? The Hulkster poster. That's okay.
It's a gun.
That's understandable. The gun.
Funniest thing. The gun.
But in the background, there's a rotting jack-o'-lantern.
Is there?
There is, and it. I rewound it. I scrubbed back, right?
Yeah.
The first time I saw it, I was like, I wonder if they just kind of caught that in the shot. Like, if that was really there, like, on location.
It probably was.
But they featured it, like, in three shots in the background. And
keep it. That's great.
There's like a
this is how poor they are. Nobody threw their jack-o'-lantern out from Halloween.
Like, they on the next shelf over, there's a jack-o'-lantern bucket for, like, trick-or-treating. But, like, there's a rotting jack-o'-lantern in the background. And they're like, this is character development. You have to leave it here.
Did I ever tell you about the time I went to a pumpkin patch and I got a pumpkin and I put it in the trunk of my car and I forgot about it for like 7 months?
Oh my God.
And I opened up the back of my car and I was like, oh my God.
Dude, it was, you know, it was Halloween 3, the witchening or whatever the fuck that one was. You know, like when everybody's heads like become the decomposing jack-o'-lanterns. That's what happened to you.
It was awful, man.
Centipedes start crawling out of your ears. And maggots are falling out of your nose.
It was bad.
Dude, it's terrible. Man, what are they wearing in this episode? Here's what Hulk Hogan's got going on. Here's what Hulk Hogan's got going on, right?
Yeah.
He's got cowboy boots and then gym socks, striped gym socks that are over... They're higher than the cowboy boots and then over the tights that he's wearing. And then he's wearing his, like, leotard, you know, and lifting belt and all that stuff. But then Mr. T is wearing tuxedo pants. I swear to God that's what he's wearing. He's wearing tuxedo pants with a red stripe up the side like the van. And then he's wearing welder's gloves.
Yeah.
And all the Hulkamania stuff. But then the whole episode, he's carrying around... a power bender? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? The thing for your biceps and your triceps?
Yeah, it's like a bar that you bend.
Yeah, it's a bar with like that spring. He's carrying it like the whole episode. He doesn't.
You beat dudes with it, man.
It never came into play. He was just working out. I'm telling you, man. You gotta have to work out the whole time.
Mr. T was getting fat around that time.
He was big. You can see
it in this episode. He's getting fat.
He's big, man. You know, and it comes from like all that lifting. I mean, all the steroids, man. You just get big, and like, it's funny that the show never played safe. You know, never played. I mean, I know that nobody ever got killed, like being shot and all, but like they let the style be the style. You know, nobody making the show was ever like, this show might be dated or might come across as dated if we don't do this.
And I think the actors just showed up and they were like, what do you want to wear? And they're like, okay, that's fine, whatever.
Yeah,
you wore that. You wear Zubas.
Not only are there no action shows anymore, but even the ones that there were. Like, you know, for a long time, they all...
24.
Yeah, they played it real... Everybody looked like they came out of a Gap ad, you know? And this was just, like, full-blown insanity. It was like everybody did an 8-ball of Coke. Everybody did an 8-ball of Coke before
I love that about the 80s. It's unapologetic, and I think that's why it's so memorable. I mean, obviously, we grew up in the 80s, so it's memorable because it formed our, like, opinions about a lot of things, but, like... It's so much fun to go back and, like, so much more so than the 70s. Like, and I love, like, you know, like, fucking Deep Purple, listening to, like, I love that. I love 70s, like, pop culture, but I love 80s pop culture because it's just so ridiculous.
It's insane. You watch an Ultimate Warrior promo. Yeah. Watch kids screaming for the Ultimate Warrior. It's crazy. This man's on steroids and coke. He's coked out of his mind and he's screaming at my child.
Yeah.
He's got my son's haircut.
And then the shark shows up. Dude, there's a part in this episode which there's a line in this episode which it goes exactly to what you guys are just saying about like how in the 80s it was just like, oh, that's it was just as simple. Everything was A to B. Everything was just like that's how it is.
Black and white. It was
Hulk Hogan. And where they're going around in circles, they're going around like the, hey, Hannibal, we'll just go down there and talk to, or no, he's like, hey, Hulkster, Hannibal got the plan. And then like Hannibal just says Hulk Hogan's plan. And they're like, oh, I love it when the plan comes together because they don't get to say that at the end of the episode or whatever.
Right.
And they just go around the circle and they say, this is what they say. They're like, it'll be simple for Hulk Hogan to take care of the mobsters.
Yeah.
And I was like, why would they think that it would be simple for a
strong
celebrity? Because of the
he's
body
a superhero.
Slamming, Josh. He body slams. And so here's what happens. He's a superhero who body slams people.
Yeah.
The Hulkster's going to go take care of him. Hulk Hogan. He goes to the boat and the woman's like, oh, hi, Hulk Hogan. As if he just walks around dressed like that all the time.
I
he's just Hulk Hogan all
dude,
the time.
Dude, I love that these like old rich 80s white rich white people fucking know who Hulk Hogan is. It's like, nobody fucking knew who Hulk Hogan was.
And I get, like, the woman who, like, knew him, or, like, he was, like, helping her charity, she calls right. him the Hulkster. But this yeah. other woman's like, hello, Hulk Hogan. Like, not Mr. Hogan.
Hello, Mr. Hulk Hogan, right.
It's, oh, Hulk Hogan. Yeah. And so he's like, it'll be simple for me to take care of these guys because I body slam people. The name yeah. of the episode is Body Slam, and he, in fact, body slams 1,000 people in this episode. And that's just what happens. Tom, you said it best, man. Oh, we're going to go take care of those guys with our body slamming. And it was just like, that's just what happens.
Next to the next, what happens. Wrestling is real, and you can beat up mobsters with it.
Next to the wall in Vietnam, there's another wall, a bigger wall. Of people that Hulk Hogan body slammed in this episode.
John, I love you, dude.
The Undertaker goes there and he puts his hand up.
And the shadow.
And you see all the dead wrestlers on the other side. Earthquake's there.
Oh my god.
I am a real American, fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American, fight for what's right, fight for your life.
When it comes, so real quick, we gotta put it out there. This might be a good time to bring this up, even though it's the middle of the podcast. We would love to see some fan art, not just from the jokes that we make or the jokes that are made on the subreddit, but like things that you got your takeaways from the episodes, guys. Anybody who's listening, our contributors, fans, Dan Jones, Dom Mosquiti, anybody who has some artistic talent who wants a show, you want to draw The Undertaker at the Hulk Hogan Body Slam Memorial Wall, please. I would love to see some fan art for maybe for t-shirts and stuff like that, but like I would love it just for some cover art for when we start uploading episodes to YouTube, just like you guys have been doing with Fantasy Fiction. I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, if you feel inspired, just feel free to reach out to us on Twitter or Reddit or whatever.
Dude, just do it, yeah.
just bounce an idea off us. We you know, we'll of course mention you on the show, and put a link to your blog in the YouTube link. So yeah. If you're into that, just hit us up.
Unless you're Eugene. I'm just kidding, Eugene, please. I love
fucking Eugene.
Dude, Eugene's his artistic stylings or musings that he's been contributing to Fantasy Fiction are unbelievable.
They're awesome.
Yeah, you can check out his Twitter. I think it's Eugene K-A-I-K.
Yes,
or you can find, if you search like Planet Doom art, or if you look that up on Facebook, you can see his artwork. He's amazing.
And
so check him out.
Dude, Eugene's our boy, and like his 80s stuff is so good. That Gremlins piece he did is incredible, man.
Yeah, it's really great.
There's a I can't talk about it on here, but there's more to that. There's more to come from Eugene for Gremlins. You gotta stay tuned as far as that's concerned. But
Gremlins?
Dude, all right, wait. Let's get back to the episode, because I gotta throw a couple more your way. So we talked about the Scooby-Doo formula to the or at least the Scooby-Doo I don't want to say formula. It just sort of like follows in the same template, like where, you know, Templeton goes off and does his thing. He's Thelma. And then,
I like how you call him Templeton now.
No, yeah. I'm sorry.
You're on first name basis.
The face man goes off.
You fucked him.
Who hasn't?
Who hasn't? Face man goes off and does his thing. So he's Thelma. He's the one who's like getting shit done. And then like, Fred and Daphne, that's Hannibal. He goes off and does his thing. Or maybe it's Templeton.
Wait, did you say Thelma? You mean Velma?
Thelma? Yeah. Thelma and Louise, right? Velma Fitzpatrick. What's her name?
I actually just really got confused. I was like, Thelma?
Is it Thelma or is it Velma?
It's Velma.
Velma.
Fuck Scooby-Doo. Whatever.
V for voluptuous.
Get at me. It didn't happen in the 80s. I don't care. All right, you know, I'm changing my whole thesis. We got Hannibal goes off and does his Velma thing and actually solves the crime. Then we have Fred and Daphne go off, a.k.a. Face and whoever the girl is in the episode. They go off and do their thing. And then you have Shaggy and Scooby, a.k.a. B.A. and Murdoch, and they go off and do their thing. However, in this episode, it's kind of cool that we get Murdoch and Face doing some shit together, albeit really briefly. And, like, what we lose in this episode, though, is this is after Murdoch was really crazy And, like, Murdoch, it's great that they give Murdoch, like, these things to do, like, where he, like, plays, like, the criminal at the end, where he plays the Cool Hand Luke at the end. They're like, hey, Murdoch, dig this hole, which is insane, first of all. He digs that hole. The guy is a borderline schizophrenic, and they're like, just do this, and you have to keep up the charade the whole time.
There are episodes where he's admitted.
He gets committed,
So the formula to the show, what we were talking about earlier, somebody shaking somebody down, the A-team finds out what the thing is, and they're like, we have to break out Murdoch. And because Murdoch's not wanted for murder, the other three are. And, like, so Murdoch has been institutionalized because he's, like, section
murder?
Or whatever.
That's the worst one!
That's the worst thing! So they always have to go and break out Murdoch, and there's always a clever, and then Murdoch's insane. And then there were a couple episodes, if memory serves, where he's like, maybe I'm not crazy. And then he just stops being crazy. He's just the comic relief on the show.
Right, he, like, it's like a switch. He, like, flips it, and he's, like, just a regular guy. Yeah. But then he always, like, comes back to being a nutcase. I mean, he's, like,
he's
so crazy.
He's just, like, alcoholic.
Yeah, exactly.
He's, like, an alcoholic crazy.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's, like, really mean to say.
No, it's true, though. He just, like,
no, but I don't
want to
say...
It's true, because alcoholism is fake.
You don't
want to
say
fake.
A crazy man. He's mental. He's got an
issue. No, I'm serious. Like, people who have alcoholism, they're just faking it. That's so... You know, it's not even... And 9/11 was an inside job. So, all right, let's talk about the fight at the gym. The Bobo-ass Eye of the Tiger music comes on. The fake. It's Eye of the Tiger and the Rocky theme mashed up together.
Dude, it starts out like you're like, oh, Eye of the Tiger, and then it's like, oh wait, no.
If you play it backwards, it's the Goonies are good enough.
Dude, in the 80s, there was nothing gay about a bunch of like buff dudes all hanging out in the dark in a gym together, waiting. Everybody just did that after they worked out to wait to say surprise to Hulk Hogan in case he would come in, him or Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like everybody in Gold's Gym in Venice Beach was just like waiting for like a buffer, bigger dude to come in the gym. And we're like, we're going to say surprise. Why were they saying surprise? What were they waiting for? Was it the Hulk's birthday? Is that what happened? What was going on in the gym?
Nah, if you got a chance to surprise Hulk Hogan, you take it.
Dude, man, also in the 80s, the only people who knew karate were Asians and Billy Zabka. The only Asian guy there karate's somebody. He's the buffest dude, and he had to use karate.
He had to use karate. It was the 80s, man. Asian racism in the 80s was A-OK.
Yeah, dude, they let that shit fly, man. There
they
were no
did not
problems
care.
With that. They didn't care, man. And Zabka, he broke down the barriers, man. He showed everybody it was okay for white people to know karate, too. You don't know who Billy Zabka is. Do your goddamn homework. All right. So,
he won Academy Award winning Billy Zabka.
Yeah. You're goddamn right, he is. So, Face goes to a federal building in Los Angeles where I have to ask the question. I'm gonna ask the question. It's stupid. Uh-huh. These guys are wanted for murder. Why are they risking their lives? They're risking being executed, hung, I believe Decker says, hung in the gallows.
Yeah.
To help. Some strangers whose lives are hanged. No, hung, like they have big dicks. they have to be hanged when they're... No, they have to be hung while they're hanged in the gallows. There you go.
Yes.
big swinging dicks. All right. these people's lives who are being shook down, it's usually for land. The people who are being shook down, it's usually for land, and their lives are rarely in danger. And most of the time, they could just call the police. Sometimes the sheriffs are in on it, too.
Oh, yeah,
like,
a lot of
so
times.
So why is the A-team risking their lives to save these random people? Because they're nice guys? Because they know people by their first names? And then I
probably because they actually committed murder and they're trying to make up for it.
Because this is a TV show and they're the good guys.
Dom, you hit the nail on the head and I put, oh, right, the intro. It's the conceit of the show. You just have to, it's exactly what it says. Is Hulk Hogan's going to save everybody because he can do the most body slamming. Yeah. And the A-team is going to help everybody out because the beginning of the show, it says the A-team has to help everybody out.
Yeah.
I need help, so I have to call the A-team. Okay, so
that's all it is.
The A-team's waiting on call to be helped.
It's G.I. Joe.
They cut out of every episode, just everyone going, I better get a fucking pardon for this. Gun that shoots machine guns.
Do you remember the part where the girl was like, my dad worked on the atomic body slam with me? That fucking weirded me out.
That was strange.
They really shoehorned that one in there. They dovetailed that one in there.
they fishtailed the shit of that one.
They were just like
they
shoving
really co-hangered
in.
That one.
my dad used to. My dad. My dad used to touch me in questionable ways when I was a kid, so I love wrestling, and that's how I know Hulk Hogan. Oh, okay.
Okay. Oh, makes sense.
Okay.
The 80s.
Dude, man, her mom jeans, those were the sexiest style of jeans until 1989.
Yeah, and then they came back and everyone's boner died.
Yeah. Yeah. When I see someone wearing the mom jeans, I'm like, nah.
That girl's got full bush.
I was like, you're probably
or that guy's
beautiful.
Got full bush. Yeah.
That guy.
That guy's got full bush. Dude, man, I'm telling, like, I was like, oh, she's kind of cute. I love her hair. Like, I love that, like, that hairstyle and everything.
That's
and
super
I'm like,
80s.
Her jeans start at her diaphragm. They, like, start at, like, her, like, at, like, the third rib down. Like, her boobs are tucked into her jeans. That's how
dude,
I
dude. Oh, my God. I'm going to bring up the, during the chase scene, the what do you call it? The van chase or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, the jump.
You could see the fucking, like, stunt double Hulk Hogan with the wig on in the car.
A wig to be bald.
Well, a lot of the scenes where cars go into, like, the ocean and stuff like that, that you can see there's no motor in it.
Even in, like, the Matrix, in the second Matrix, when they flip the car over, it's like a Pontiac Grand Prix, like, flips over on the highway. There's fucking nothing in the car. It's just a frame they flipped over.
Yeah, man, think about all those movies where people would clearly get murdered and crushed in the cars, and they just cut away, and it's like, okay. That doesn't, nothing happens.
Nothing happened, yeah.
I want to bring go ahead,
Dom. Oh, okay, sure, yeah. Let me bring this up. My favorite thing about this show, this episode, is that there are two freeze frames with Hulkster and BA.
Yeah.
Yep, yes.
And the first one is golden, beautiful. The second one is kind of good. But I have a hypothesis, and they have two freeze frames because when a show is syndicated, they sometimes cut it down to fit more commercials.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Is that why they did that, and then they just dropped the credit sequence after that?
Probably.
And I also wondered about the long credits in the front. I was like, I wonder if that's the filler for when it's on network. Mm. And then when it went syndicated, because syndication was – reruns were just happening because cable was – cable – existed, but it wasn't really a huge thing yet.
Nobody this had was, cable.
This, yeah, this was at the time of I want my MTV. Remember, yeah, like you have to call your cable provider and say I want MTV.
What?
Like,
what an amazing idea! I can call my cable company and request a channel, and they'll just add it onto my bill.
They'll add it because I'm the customer and I'm right, and they're
weird. Well, they really MTV really did it right by making it a thing where, like, you had to go and yell and demand it, whereas other companies were just like, please ask your local provider. Right.
Dude, it was, you know? It was, they did promos with, like, the police and, like, and all kinds of, like, artists and
Billy
everything.
Idol
and,
is a big
and
one.
Billy Idol was, Billy Idol one. The Billy Idol one, but then
I want my MTV.
It was such a cultural phenomenon. Dire Straits wrote a fucking song about it.
Yeah.
A great
that was
song.
The video. That was the video.
That's the video. Video. Yep. And Weird Al's video came out not too long after that, and it's just as
it's
good.
Just, yeah, it's really
dude,
good.
Dude, a lot of those songs on those three or four albums that he had right then were just as good as the originals, the Weird Al songs. Mm-hmm. Different podcasts. Okay, what's going on? Something I want to bring up, even though I've talked this like whole time. Dom, I got a question for you, but first... Let me throw this to everybody. This show was action. This episode was action movie awesome. The chase scene, all the body slamming, which I don't think I can talk enough about. Even when that one mafia guy like takes the gun out of the girl's hands, it's fucking radical. Like there's all this awesome action. But when the A-Team when Murdoch tricks those MPs to like give up their guns and they walk out of the building, everybody just like walks out, and then Hannibal's like, get in the back of the van.
Yeah,
there's no protest. They're like, they're the ones with the guns. We got duped.
Dude, it's like, what happened in the show? I was like, is it? I guess they're winding down. I guess the episode's almost over.
We gotta get to the end here. I guess
it's like at the end, like when they're shooting at Face. Like there's this huge. They're shooting all these guns, and like first of all, Face looks like he just walked off a golf course. He's got that Jeff on, and he's like,
yeah. Face.
I'm in an office, and everybody's got. There are a million Uzis. And they just and then they cut to stock footage of a wrestling match. It's like they ran out of money. It's like they shot the episode in order, ran out of money. They're like, we don't have enough blanks to fill out the scene. We can't have Hulk Hogan actually wrestle somebody again. And they also he's not in the second half of the episode. He's even like, I'm going to be thinking about you brother when I'm wrestling. And then he's just like not in the rest of the episode until he shows up to throw those guys.
He probably had like a day. to do this, or two days. You know, yeah.
how about that line from Mean Gene? There must be something on the Hulkster's mind. He's not himself tonight.
I love it, dude. I love it.
So
my favorite is at the beginning of the episode when he's like, "There's a strange man in the ring with the Hulkster. They must be friends.
They must." Yeah. Dude, he's telling you. It's just like the beginning of the show. He's telling you they must be friends.
Yeah, they must. There's.
It's funny because, you know, for all the dope-ass wrestling moves at the time, and of course you get your Hulk Hogan leg drop and everything, the clothesline seemed to be really they really, like, focus on the clothesline. There's a clothesline
that
in the beginning.
That was one of Hogan's big things.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. And he gets
one
that.
Of his signatures.
He gets that, you know, when he's trying, the dude's trying to smash his head in the turnbuckle, and he's like, resisting.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I guess the last thing I have to ask about the show, Dom, my question for you, man, you know, at the end, when but Hannibal's like, "Hey Hulk, is there such a thing as a 5-man tag team?" And everybody laughs, and then and I'm like, "Well, is there, Dom? Is there? There is.
Is there? And there is. It's called Survivor Series.
Series, right? Yeah, yeah. I was thinking about, did that exist yet, or did the A-Team invent it?
No,
I'm sure it's been done. Like, promoters are like, "How else can I make money? Why? I'll put 10 men in the ring,
right?"
And it'll be a tag team match. Right.
It'll be the largest men. And then the second group of largest men.
I saw a fucking rad tag team match last night, 3-way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We'll talk about it later.
All right, that's cool.
That wasn't at the wrestling show, though.
Whoa!
No, it was something else.
Gay sex. It was great. All right, let's get into some contributions from our listeners. I did it.
I'm not on board with this contribution thing.
You like the comments? You like the discussion? Let's talk.
Yeah, they're
about
comments. It's just discussion.
I don't know.
They're not.
Why do we gotta call again?
They're not.
Why can't we just be going out?
Yeah. They're contributing to the show. The show wouldn't exist without them.
I know they are contributing.
Dude, coffee sports is instrumental to this show.
Yeah, that's true. I take it back. That's true.
I agree full-heartedly.
First contribution I have that I want to make a point to I'm running into the ground. Oh, I'm going to do it until it's funny again. Coffee sports says, he goes, "I was really excited to watch this." I'm paraphrasing. "I was really excited to watch this week's episode of the A-Team because Hulk Hogan and him have the same first name. And when he was a kid,
Hulk?
he thought that meant the two of them were related," which I used to do as a kid too. Coffee.
Yeah.
I was like, "Me and Michael Jackson are related."
Yeah.
And so, but he goes on to say, but he's pretty sure that that's not how names work. So he's 85% sure they're not related now.
DNA test will prove it. But
85%, man, that Coffee Sports, man, don't let it go. Keep holding
that's,
on. You know?
Yeah, that's 15% that says you might be.
We have Mountain Doom, because it's Doom.
Mountain Doom.
Doom. It's great. Mountain Doom goes, there was a subplot about a Scooby-Doo villain being dressed up as Italians to scare kids away from the boy center so they could find hidden pirate gold. And man, did you hit the fucking nail on the head, dude.
Nice. Best
comment. When I read that, I was like, that's the best comment, man. There it is. That's exactly what it was. It's a bunch of LA guys from LA pretending they're Italian. And then they have to dig up pirate treasure. A
bunch of LA actors that are just like... Just like F-list actors.
Italian.
Yeah, you're Italian. You just got whenever you're on screen, if you're not doing anything, you either have to be eating pasta or asking when the pasta will be ready.
Dude, the guy said Al Capone. He must be Italian. He's like, "Al Capone did this." And I was like, dude, even in 1985, that was fucking 60 years ago.
Dude, do you know how long ago that was? And people like, it'll never go away. 100
years. It's 100 years. But he's Italian because he says Al Capone.
100 years.
Modge Third, who wrote a huge piece and makes a lot of really good points about the show, and I encourage everybody to go to the subreddit and check it out. Modge Third says, "This episode is one of the most 80s things I've ever seen. Wrestling in spandex that goes to the wrestlers' belly buttons, muscle men hugging, off-brand Rocky music, evil gray-suited men trying to shut down small businesses, and even multiple freeze frames, parenthetically, one of which features a high five between Hulk Hogan and Mr. T."
So, I Snapchatted so it to somebody. It
so, so good. Modge Third, again, you guys are really picking up all that we're putting down. Here it goes. Yeah. TikTok.
You think it's the most 80s thing you've ever seen? Try living in this decade when, like, this would come on, and then you'd have to watch, like, Designing Women after
Oh, my God.
Dude. And then you went outside to ride your bike, yeah. And it was just the movie Rad.
Dude, yep. When you were a kid and you would go over other kids' houses to play, you were in a commercial. You were in a toy commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were in a Transformers commercial or a G.I. Joe commercial.
It was crazy,
and you had
man.
Those clear blocks.
And you had those, dude, all those playsets, the clear blocks, playsets sold separately. And everybody used the box in the commercial.
Fire missiles through the clear blocks.
The clear
blocks.
That's how you know it really shoots. Man, it's so crazy because I don't view the world that way now. Obviously, I'm not 8 anymore. But, like, you know, like, I don't see, like, when I go over somebody's house, like, the only thing I see that's recognizable all the time is, like, the Apple icon or logo, you know, because that's the world now to me. It's just Apple products, but like, and I guess that's its own commentary. But like, when we were kids, man, like you rode your big wheel, you know, your big wheel trike to your friend's house, and then you played with your Legos, and then went on the. You were in a fucking toy commercial like all the time. Like this was you. That was the world. The way
I had one with an e-brake, and you could do fucking cool spin outs and shit.
Dude, when I got older, I did.
It was called a sidewind.
Yeah, it was.
If kids don't have toys, they die.
Yeah.
they stop being real. You have to put them in a pile in the closet.
Yeah.
There's a pile of unreal children now in my closet.
Next to the jack-o'-lantern.
Oh, it's the FBI again, guys. I gotta go. Yeah, man, I don't know, man. Like, the way Mr. T was dressed in this episode, it's not so far-fetched to me because you were like, that's how I'm going to dress tomorrow. When I go to school tomorrow, that's how I'm going to dress because I saw it on TV.
So yeah, it was a crazy, like, it didn't matter. Nothing. I mean, the world was going to end. We were going to get nuked. It didn't matter. Yep. Nothing mattered. Fuck it.
It's great, man. TikTok says, if you ask me, the guys were always destined to watch an episode of The A-Team for this show. Thank you, I think.
Hey, I guess he loves it when a plan comes together.
And he goes, as if it were meant to be, and I love it when a plan comes together.
There it is.
Oh, he said it. Nice. Oh, I'm sorry. Nice. I'm just snaking everybody's show.
Yeah, nice, dude.
Dired for Justice, even though he had that great remark earlier, he had quite a bit to say, but he starts off with, and I think this was the interesting part to note for our contribution aspect of the show, consider the following. In this episode, the Hulk plays the same role as he played as a WWF wrestler. Now, both in the WWF and in the A-Team, we are led to believe that this is a totally real fighter. Like, Hulk Hogan is a real person, is what Dyer is saying. So then he goes on to say...
Right, he's a superhero. Right.
Right, he's a superhero. Right, exactly. Like, right. And then so he goes on to say, we're also shown that smothering someone with the soft underside of your leg is a practical finishing move. But besides that, does this mean that the... Not the ambiguously gay wrestling move, but asks, he goes, does this mean that the WWF and the A-Team exist within the same canon? The A-Team is explicitly introduced, but Hulk Hogan is not. Does that mean that Hulk extends throughout a larger canon than the Soldiers of Fortune from the show?
God. This is like our fan theories thing.
This is so fucking good. It's so, Dio, thank you for a great contribution, man. He goes, does this make the A-Team a spinoff based within the WWF universe? The answer to these questions is, of course, no, but to say otherwise, and he goes, and to say otherwise would be silly. But I love that you asked the question.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Dude,
that's how we find truths, is by asking questions.
That's right.
Diode, I had mentioned it before. I'm going to mention it again. I encourage everybody to do some reading on it. We'll probably talk about it on an episode. Look up, What the fuck? Saint Elsewhere. Look up Saint Elsewhere.
Oh my God!
And the theories about Saint Elsewhere, and the canon of all the television shows that have followed in the last 30 years, and how they're all interlinked. There's also somebody also on the subreddit posted a fucking rad video that was like this. It was a reading of a part of like a Wikipedia article that was like kind of like shitty, explaining how like Family Matters and Family Matters and what was the other show? And Step by Step and Full House are not, even though they're purported to be in the same universe, that they're not, that one is actually a fiction within the other universe's reality. And it's so funny that somebody posted that, and then Diode is talking about this. Dude, it's, you gotta check it out on the subreddit. I can't remember what it is, but it's like the second or third thing down. You gotta watch.
We should do an episode where we do like theories like that. That's
sure, man.
Fun.
Yeah.
Dude, I would love to do a theory cast. So Diode goes on to say everything he knew about. So just talking about the episode, everything he knew about the A-Team, he learned from parodies on other shows, which is funny, Dom, because you and I had talked about that when you were mentioning picking this up, that this show for us to watch for our podcast, this series to watch for our podcast, specifically this episode, how it's sort of a parody within a parody at that point. And Josh, I know you touched on it earlier a little bit, but I think it sort of goes to the anything goes, and that's what stuck. That's what everybody has loved about this show, is it was just like, this is what the show is. It's just...
Yeah,
just
it was
bonkers.
I mean, this is what our show is about. Like, a period in time where television was just whatever. We need shows. Here's a show. This is what it is.
Like, dude, McCormick and Hardcastle, man. It's a race car driver and a cop team up. The Fall Guy. Yeah. A stuntman and a cop team up. Street Justice, a karate man and a cop team up. That was every show, dude. Street Justice with Carl Weathers, man. That was a great show. But so Diode goes on and he says, the show is everything I hoped it would be. For example, we're shown that the youth center is in danger and there's a car chase. And then the episode featured many of the moments that may have seemed cliched, but was never off-putting because of how awesome it was. And Gabe SNES echoes Diode's sentiments. He goes, this is his first time ever watching the A-Team. And the biggest thing that he had leaving the first episode or like that he took away was thinking of how goddamn American the show is. So obviously Gabe SNES is either not from America or just commenting on how it's a great American hallmark. Yeah. You had Hulk Hogan being a real American and a fight scene using kinda sorta Eye of the Tiger cover, which is exactly...
Is that an American staple? Is that like...
That's every
in America
show.
We do this?
Yeah, Rocky fought in Rocky Fights for America.
Yeah, that's true. Rocky,
you know, we didn't even talk about how Hulk Hogan is in Rocky 3. He's Thunderlips. Yeah. He's the ultimate male. Hulk Hogan plays Don Mesquite, the ultimate male, in the beginning of Rocky 3. And, of course, which features Mr. T, again, as his film debut, Clubber Lang, one of my favorite movie villains of all time. And I wonder, maybe we'll get into it if we watch the other Hulk
Hogan. He kills an old man in that movie.
He does. Yo, dude, Hulk Hogan gets body slammed by Sylvester Stallone, and then Mr. T sexually harasses Talia Shire so hard, it gives Burgess Meredith a heart attack.
He just dies.
Why don't you go with a real man?
That's what happens in that movie.
when Rocky is unveiling his statue of himself,
yes,
like the dedication.
Which is a national treasure to Philadelphians.
And Clubber Lang is there, and he sexually harasses his wife.
Hey, woman. Dude, that, oh, God.
Clubber Lang's workout scene in that movie, his montage is awesome. I mean, when he's working out in that gritty gym
and he's
like doing pull-ups on that wire.
Oh my god, dude, that movie is fucking... I love Rocky 3. I love unapologetically.
They're all on Netflix. They're all there.
Rocky 3 is great. It's underrated because it's silly and because it's super 80s, but I love it. It's so good. All right.
The theme, redemption on that movie, great.
Yeah,
the theme to Rocky 3.
Yeah, man, dude. Some of the biggest, one of the biggest or most quoted Rocky lines comes from that movie, man. First of all, the Rocky music comes from that movie, Eye of the Tiger. Second of all, that's where you have Carl Weathers as the best version of Apollo Creed. Like, I love him in the second movie because
he's full blown good guy in this one.
I thought Eye of the Tiger was in the second.
No, it's the third movie. This is the Eye. He tells him, he's like, Rock, you got to get back the Eye of the Tiger, man. You got to be hungry. Now we're talking about Rocky. Let's just talk about it. And
your brother write this song. Wait, not
dude,
that.
Dude, yeah, no, that's... But, man, there is no tomorrow. That line. He's like, tomorrow, Apollo. And Apollo's like, there is no tomorrow. Dude, that's a great line, man. All right, that's it. Omar Khan, last comment here. Rewatching the show and looking at the comments, I think I can see what made this show so awesome. It really manages to hit the inner child level of enjoyment. And I think that's really what Omar makes a really great point. I think that's sort of what we've been dancing around this entire time. It's enjoyable. You know, coffee spots and
it's
Nick
Rude. Pure fantasy. It's unbelievably ridiculous.
Turn off your brain and watch these guys fight guys.
Dude, yeah, coffee sports, Nick Rude. Brought it up. I think that all three of us had it in our notes too. We may have even said it earlier. I don't know. I think we're going about 2 hours again on this one, but it's a cartoon come to life. It's a live action cartoon. You know, Omar goes on to say there's no sense of irony or sarcasm or smarminess that permeates most of today's entertainment. Just characters who do the right thing. They're throwing G.I. Joe levels of violence and you know, G.I. Joe levels of violence, meaning like cartoon, and swearing around. He goes, does anyone ever get hurt on the show? I don't
know.
No,
but cars do. Cars have dynamite under their hoods. And if you get if you shoot a hood of a car in this universe, it's gonna blow up.
Dude, if you're just driving, if you drive into a bush, you're flipping a Jeep over, man. Yeah. As shown in the intro. but he says, does anyone ever get hurt in the show? I don't even care. Makes a great point. That's a great point, man. You know, like he goes, the show sells it with the actors who look like they're all having a ball. It just looks like it's fun to be on and be
except
in the show. Except for George Peppard, and that's why they put him all the goofy costumes. So they kind of he does look like he's having fun every time he's in something Vietnam era, like when they put him in a Huey. Like I know that's in the intro of the show, but like there's so many episodes of the show where there's like helicopters, and he does look like he's having a good time when he's in those. But so Omar says, I think this is a good. This is kind of like a good like little closing line. I just kind of like this. He goes, it was a type of show you could enjoy as a kid, as my sister and I did. And then later as an adult for exactly the same reasons.
That's great.
And Omar, man, I think that's why we're doing this podcast. You know, that's why we're doing this. And that's why we're talking about what we're talking about. So, all right.
Great comments, guys. Those are awesome.
Fantastic as always.
Great contributions.
You know? Contributions to the show. I wanted to, like I said before, I wanted to kind of keep the show back, the backstory to a minimum. We'll get into it in another episode where maybe we won't talk about everything awesome for fucking 2 hours. No, too bad. We're going to do that every episode because it's great and I have a lot of fun with it. But yeah, man, it's a good time. You know, this is good. We should keep doing this podcast. 10 episodes. I was ready to call it quits, burn the motherfucker down, delete everything off the internet. Nobody's allowed to have it ever again. And I was going to go all Sylvia Plath on everyone. But, you know, now I'm thinking after reading the contributions this week, maybe we'll do another episode. Maybe we'll have another one. we'll have another.
All right, everybody. Next week, what are we going to watch? We are going to watch Season 1, Episode 1 of Quantum Leap.
Yeah!
I love it.
Back on the science fiction again.
This is a cool show. If you've never watched it, it is kind of sci-fi, but it's also period
not,
pieces every episode.
It's also not sci-fi.
Yeah. But it's a really rad show. It's a show for nerds, and you're going to like it. And Josh, why are we going to like it?
We're going to like it because motherfucking Scott Bakula is in it, and I love Scott Bakula.
I watched him perform in front of me on an episode of The Soup. He was a guest.
And that dude
has great comedy timing, super nice guy.
He's cool.
And he's a professional.
Yeah.
He was a one-take Jones that
Yeah,
day.
One-take
awesome.
Jones. That's great.
He's a really underrated actor. And I'm glad he's had such great television vehicles to, like,
let's just not even watch episode and talk about Scott Bakula right now for two
Bakula cast.
Dude, I'm glad Soderbergh's been using him for the HBO movies and everything. He's been brilliant. He's been brilliant, you know? He's great, man. Can't say enough good things about him. Oh, he's great in The Informant.
That's why Joel and him are friends, and that's why he was on.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. He's so good in that movie. Ugh. Josh, what else do you want to do?
I think the week after next, we're going to watch the first episode of Enterprise, get back to some Star Trek. I've been pushing for Enterprise for a while. It's a really great show. I love it. And also,
I don't know if I've ever seen it.
Dude, it's
really
great. I've
never watched an episode. So we're going to watch a different iteration from the Star Trek universe. Even though we're still committed to TNG, we're definitely going to get into some DS9, some Voyager and everything. But Josh has been a huge proponent and has been bugging me for months now to get into Enterprise. And I'm excited to finally, you know, crack this mother open. And I think
every day he would call Mike. He'd say, Mike, when are we going to do it?
Did you watch it?
We got to do it.
And that's
why Mike is about to break down.
Yeah, that's why he's having sleep terrors or whatever.
Sleep snakes are coming to get us.
Sleep snakes?
Fucking sleep snakes.
Dude, man, I'm excited, man. I'm excited to watch Quantum Leap because I love that show. I watched that like back to front like three times.
Yeah.
And, like, but for some, you know, double shot of Bakula action and get into Enterprise, man, I'm ready.
Ooh, yeah.
Back in Bakula.
And then the sleep snakes show up. Okay, so guys, next week, you got your viewing assignments for the next 2 weeks. put them up on the goddamn subreddit. Maybe I'll do it. Who the fuck knows? I hope everybody's having a good time, or excuse me, is adjusting well or easily, or I don't know what the fuck to say. I'm out of steam. It's 11:30 at night. I hope everybody's adjusting to our new recording and release schedule.
It'll be on Tuesdays from now.
So hopefully by the time this goes up, you guys will already have been watching the episodes, because we're going to try to announce the episodes we're going to watch ahead of you listening to them on the podcast here. So those who are participating on the subreddit or following us on social media, and if you're not, get on the tip, get the early access. You know, that's how you can be good.
Until next week.
Wait. I want to give everybody a homework assignment real quick.
Homework? Shit.
Game one. We haven't syndicated it. We didn't syndicate it. I want everybody to syndicate. I want a thread on the subreddit. I'm not starting it. I'm going to put it on you guys. If you want to do it, syndicate your episode of the A-Team.
I would love to read these.
I want to read
Quantum Leap and of Enterprise.
Yeah, do whatever you want.
Yo, do whatever. Dude, let's do it. Let's do it. Here's what I want to do. Oh, because I got nothing to do during the day.
Repurpose dinosaurs for us.
Dude, man, start syndicating episodes on the subreddit, and we'll read them here. I would ask... try to keep them to like 500 words or less, you know, and maybe we can start reading something.
I'm gonna say 100 words or less. Just if you can get a premise of a show.
Yeah,
right now,
okay.
Log line.
No, you have to do 500. I want 2 pages. It's a homework assignment. Double space. No, 100 words or less. You're right, Dom. You're right. 100 words or less. Syndicate. We didn't syndicate dinosaurs. So syndicate dinosaurs. Syndicate the A-Team. And then if you feel like syndicating the next two episodes for the next 2 weeks, be our guest. You can put them all in one thread, multiple threads. We won't start it. We'll leave it up to you. See if you guys want to do it, if it's something you're interested in doing. Because I know we've been going long on the episode, so we always haven't had time to do that. Your second assignment to all of our, to the syndication station army out there. We already mentioned it. Fan contributions. You don't have to do art. We would love it if you did. Not just for our egos or to validate our existences, or to make money off of
you. I need it for that reason, because I don't have much to live for.
Or to make money off of you guys or anything like that. What we would love is to show new fans you know, how involved that we love our listeners being, that we want our audience to be in the show. We wouldn't do the show. We wouldn't have it without you. I know we say it all the time. You know, the 5-star reviews really help us out. All the comments, all the stuff you guys are doing to spread the word. And I think the more fan participation that's seen, the more visual it is to other fans. You know, people want to come. We want you to be in the joke with us. You know, this is a clubhouse open to everyone, except for Kevin Braun. He's not allowed. Kevin, fuck you. But yeah, this it's open to everybody, and we want you all in on the joke with us. So I would love it if you guys could do those two things, asking for some fan participation. Those are two of the three things. Third thing, if you want some more spooky cast, here's what I'm saying. If you want some spooky cast, maybe start a spooky cast thread. Maybe we'll do a spooky cast episode.
Yeah. You know when it's coming to Halloween. You know when the ghosts come out and all the sleep snakes come and
get you. Let me get my rotty ass jack-o'-lantern out of my car real quick.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dom and I get so excited for Halloween once it's June. it's almost Halloween!
Because it's coming! It's coming! Get ready! Dracula is calling Frankenstein. And he's all excited. He's like, only 4 months away.
Why would he call him?
Because they're friends.
It's almost summer, which means it's almost fall, which means it's almost Halloween.
I'm almost dead. When you think about it.
He's right.
Dude, man, that's it. Oh, guys, you ever think about how we only have, like, at best, like, maybe, like, 40 summers left?
Oh, yeah, I think about that all the time.
All right, well, have a good one, guys. Take it easy. See you next week.
I'm thinking about how I got... about 700 more ice creams I got to eat.
Yeah, man. You guys want to go get some ice cream right now? Yeah.
I had some last night. I'll have some tonight. I don't care. Oh. I hate my body.
Dom, you know where I got ice cream the other day? CNC on Busselton. You know what I'm talking about?
CNC.
CNC Custom.
Music Factory.
Yeah, man. I went in, they were like, I got the good strawberry. I got the sweet doubles cone. It was so good, man.
Oh my God.
It was awesome. I was dancing, I was grooving. Yo, you know about CNC? It's down past Comic Collectors.
Everybody waffle cone.
Off of Street Road. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I know where that is.
Move back to the East Coast. Let's get some goddamn custard and go out and pick pumpkins.
Custard?
And put them in a jar. It's
yeah. What are you, from New England?
It's custard.
Are you from Pittsburgh?
We're going to get fucked up on custard.
Let's pick some pumpkins and leave them in Josh's trunk.
Yeah, we did that other time.
That's where the sleep snakes come from. And then the shark comes.
Ew.
All right, what did you guys? You guys, is that the end of the show?
That's the end of the show for me.
That's the end of the show for me, Josh.
Keep on wizarding.
Yeah, fuck you.
Hey, that's the wrong show.
Have a good week, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Don't!